This classic episode of the Children's Bible Hour is from 1981.
Hi, everybody. It's time for another visit with all your friends from the Children's Bible Hour.
Boys and girls for Jesus, this our earnest prayer. Boys and girls for Jesus, home and school, at play and everywhere, we'll tell the world of life in Jesus.
Well, what do you know? It's visiting time again with all your friends from the Children's Bible Hour. Whether you hear this program on one of the stations carrying these visits, whether you're gathered somewhere around a cassette player listening, you are welcome. We hope you'll enjoy the music, the special features, and the dramatized story we have ready today. The name of today's story is Double Exposure. It's a good one with an excellent lesson for each one of us to hear. Susie's poem today is a cute one about a couple of frogs. We'll visit in Company Corner, and we'll have a treasure hunt from the Bible. So be sure to have pencil and paper ready to write down the question and the clue. First, though, let's sing together. Hey, cousins, do you want to sing an old song, or do you want to sing a brand new one?
Sing a brand new song.
Well, then, since you want to sing a brand new song, how about singing a new song? Well, this is an old tune, but with some new words that come directly from the Bible itself. This song is based on familiar verses in the book of Philippians. Oh, rejoice in the Lord alway.
Oh, rejoice in the Lord alway.
Well, those bright songs by our choir lead us into a couple of songs by our 4-year-old Lisa Sue. The Lord is good and He is Lord. All right, Lisa?
The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. The Lord is good. Tell it that others may know. Tell of His love. Tell of His love, tell how He's watching from heaven above. The Lord is good, tell it wherever you go.
Lisa Sue's song said that the Lord is good. And the song that the two little ones in Company Corner have ready says, I guess God thought of everything. You've met these two before. They're Pam and Aaron. Let's listen to their good song.
I'm glad God gave me arms to hold my daddy tight and legs to run and meet him when he comes home at night. And we can feel the warmth of the fireplace at night. I guess God thought of everything. My eyes can see the diamonds when moonlight's on the snow. My ears can hear the birds sing, the friendly rooster crow. And I can smell warm spices and cookies in a row. I guess God thought of everything. God knew we need a family.
With that good song in mind, let's take a moment and thank God for His blessings, and let's pray for one another, okay? Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the blessings that are ours. You have been so good to us. Help us not to take them for granted, but to thank you each day, not only with our lips, but by our life as well. And we do pray for all of our listening friends today. We think of those who wrote this week and asked us to pray for unsaved grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads and brothers and sisters. Oh, we pray that these who have written might be good examples of what a Christian ought to be, so that these loved ones will want to come to know Jesus as their Savior too. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Remember, someone is praying for you.
Dougie's with us today, and hey, Doug, you've got something new on your feet, looks like. What are those?
Boots.
Yeah, they're high ones too, aren't they?
Yes.
What are they specially for going out in?
Into snow.
In the snow. You know, there are some boys and girls listening to our program, live in the West Indies, live down south, and they've never seen snow. Do you like snow?
Yes.
What do you like to do in it?
Build forts and jumps.
Uh-huh. What do you do with the jumps?
My friend pulls me over them.
Oh, you ever fall off your sled?
Usually we wipe out.
Oh, you do? Well, that's kind of the fun of it, though. Do you like to make snowballs?
Yes.
What do you do with those?
Throw them.
But you don't throw them at other people or at cars, do you?
No.
No, that's not good to do. Listen, what's your song all about today? What's
Sunday's
the name of it?
Best of All.
Sunday's Best of All. Well, you know, many listening to this program go to Sunday school and church faithfully every week, and that's good. Some go on Saturday, but for those of us who go on Sunday, I guess we'd have to go along with your song, Dougie. Sunday's Best of All. Let's hear it.
The week is made of 7 days, the days of our small. All days are made for loving deeds, but Sunday's best of all. Sunday's best of all. Sunday's best of all. We sing God's praise on all the days, but Sunday's best of all. For Jesus is the children's friend, His love makes all things bright. And heaven is our one happy place where we shall dwell in light. Sunday's best of all. Sunday's best of all. We
are you using Keys for Kids?
You aren't?
Well, you're really missing something wonderful. Now, I'm not saying that just because we publish it. I'm saying that because that's what others tell us. Keys for Kids is our daily devotional designed to be read to or by boys and girls of school age. There's a story for every day, a suggested scripture reading, a how about you section where you can apply what you read to your own life, a verse to memorize, and a key phrase for the day. It's all free for the asking. Oh, help with printing and postage is appreciated, but not necessary. So write and ask for Keys for Kids, and we'll send it out to you. Get your letter in the mail this week for sure. Here's where to write. Uncle Charlie, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's Uncle Charlie or Children's Bible Hour, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. The zip is 49501.
Well, I promised you a treasure hunt, so a treasure hunt we'll have. I'll give you a question to look up in the Bible, and I'll tell you where you can find the answer. It's simple, and it's fun. But I'll tell you what, while you're getting pencil and paper ready to copy down the question and the clue, let's hear from Peter, Jay, and Ann, our delightful duetters. They have a cute song that weaves together three different stories from the Bible, and we'll take our treasure hunt from one of the stories that they're going to sing about, okay? Let's listen to this bright song by Peter and Ann, and then we'll have the treasure hunt. It's called If You Believe.
I read about how Paul and Silas were in jail and no one there. Nobody there could go their bail, but when they prayed, they found that God was on their side. The jailhouse door swung open wide. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, he is just the same today. All you have to do is just trust and pray and believe. You must believe.
When Daniel sat within the hungry lion's den, nobody thought that there was any hope for him. But all night long, the lions never took a bite. God took away their appetite.
If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, he is just the same today. All you have to do is just trust and pray and believe. You must believe.
When David stood before the giant with his sling, Goliath laughed at such a puny little thing.
But David knew his faith in God would stand the test. He flung the rock, God did the rest.
If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, he is just the same today. All you have to do is just trust and pray and believe. You must believe.
Are you all ready for your treasure hunt? Let's see. Peter and Anne sang about Paul and Silas, about Daniel, and about David. Now, I'm sure most of you know the story of David and Goliath backwards and frontwards. But I'm sure there are some things about this story that you can't quite remember. For instance, when David took 5 smooth stones from the brook, he put them in something. Do you know what he put them in? And the answer is not the sling. He only put one in the sling. Where did he put those 5 smooth stones when he took them out of the brook? That's your question. You'll find the answer in 1 Samuel chapter 17, near the end of the chapter. The whole story's a good one to read, so I'm hoping you'll read the whole 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. You'll find the answer to the question somewhere after verse 38. What did David do with the 5 smooth stones he took out of the brook when he went to fight the giant? Where'd he put them? Read 1 Samuel chapter 17, and somewhere after verse 38, you'll find the answer to the question of what David did with those 5 stones. Where'd he put them? Find the answer in 1 Samuel chapter 17. That's 1 Samuel. It's in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 17, somewhere after verse 38. Now, in order to get the answer, you have to do a little work. Maybe you won't find the answer right away, but you keep trying. Hey, you know what? Keep Trying. That's the name of the cute poem that Susie has ready about a couple of frogs who got stuck in a can of cream. Just before our good story, Double Exposure, let's hear this cute poem from Susie, all about these two frogs caught in a farmer's can of cream.
Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep, and the cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use, said number one. 'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friend, goodbye, sad world. And weeping still, he drowned. But number two of sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise, and while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes, I'll swim a while, at least, he thought, or so it has been said. It wouldn't really help the world if one more frog was dead. An hour or two he kicked and swam. Not once he stopped to mutter, but kicked and swam and swam and kicked, then hopped out because he made butter.
Don't go away, kids. It's story time.
Our story today, written especially for the Children's Bible Hour by Barbara Westberg, is entitled Double Exposure. It's a Friday afternoon, and the kids are all crowded on the school bus, talking up a storm as they ride home.
Scoot over, Phil. We're about to fall off the edge of the sea.
Can't, Jeff. I'm so squashed between you and Alan that I feel like a slice of liver loaf between two pieces of bread.
Scoot over, Alan.
Can't.
Say, what's the matter with you? Look at his face, Jeff. He's blushing.
Debbie's been winking at him again.
You guys lay off, will ya? I don't feel good.
Don't look too good either.
Oh.
Maybe he is sick, Phil. He sure looks funny.
Oh, my head. Won't we ever get home? Every time we hit a bump, I feel like my head's gonna come off.
Wouldn't lose much if it did.
Phil, leave him alone.
Okay. You going to Sam Murphy's party tonight?
I'd like to go, but I doubt if my mom and dad will let me. When they learn that Mr. and Mrs. Murphy will be working, they won't let me go.
But Sam said his big brother James and a couple of his friends will be at home.
Yeah, and you know what kind of reputation James Murphy has. My folks know, too.
Oh, my neck even hurts.
Don't look like you're gonna go either, Alan. Well, you guys stay home and play tiddlywink. I'll go and have a big time.
Well, I'll ask if I can go. Perhaps Mother will forget to ask if Mr. and Mrs. Murphy will be there.
Finally at my stop. See you guys.
I think I better get off here, too. You look kind of funny, Alan. I'll walk home with you.
When Jeff arrived home, he carefully hung up his coat, put his books away, and cleaned up after he had eaten a snack. He felt it was best to keep his folks happy until he could ask about the party. After he had been home about an hour and his dad had come home, he worked up courage to ask,
Mother, Sam Murphy is having a party tonight at his house for the boys in our class. Could I go, please?
Sam Murphy. Do I know him, Jeff? The name sounds familiar, but I can't place him. Has he ever been here to play with you?
No, you don't know him. He lives on the other side of town.
Oh, I don't think you should go, Jeff.
But Mother...
Will his mom and dad be there?
No, but his older brother James and a couple of his friends will be there.
James Murphy. Now I remember. James is the boy who worked at Uncle Bill's hardware store for a couple weeks last summer. Uncle Bill had to dismiss him because things began disappearing.
You know, Jeff, Uncle Bill's a good, easygoing man. He'll take a lot before he fires someone. As I recall, he said that James was lazy and rude.
I know, but Sam's not like James. Besides, everybody else
Oh, wait a minute, Jeff. Wait a minute. We don't do or not do things because of what other people do or do not do. We base our lives on the Word of God and not on other people.
But, Dad, I get tired of never getting to do what other guys do.
Is Alan going?
No, but he's sick.
Alan wouldn't go if he was well.
I'll get it. Hello? Oh, Gloria, how are you? Alan? Yes. Yes, well, Jeff told us Alan is sick. Oh, no, not spinal meningitis. Well, what room is he in? Yes, of course. That's right, he'd be in isolation. Uh-huh. Well, Jeff and Phil or the whole class? Yes, we will. We will. Now, let us know as soon as you find out anything definite. All right, goodbye.
What's the matter with Alan, Dad? What's spinal meningitis?
Well, the doctors put Alan in the hospital. They're running tests. He thinks Alan may have spinal meningitis. That's a very dangerous disease. He's in isolation, which means he's in a room by himself and can't have visitors.
But why can't he have visitors?
Because some kinds of meningitis are very, very contagious. If he does have it, you and Phil and possibly all of your class may have to take shots.
Shots?
Mm-hmm.
Why should I have to take a shot? I'm not sick. Feel me. Not a bit of a fever. There's nothing wrong with me. Alan's the one who's sick.
I know, son, but you've been exposed, and there's a possibility you could become ill. The shot is to prevent that happening.
I wonder who exposed Alan.
Oh, there'd be no way of knowing that. There are germs everywhere, in the air, in some water, and possibly Alan's resistance was low. Jeff was so concerned about Alan, he forgot about Sam's party until bedtime. Hello? Well, no, Vivian, Phil isn't here. Oh, he hasn't been here all evening. The police? Well, Jeff did say something about the party at Sam Murphy's when he came home from school. Well, Phil should be home soon if he rode his bike. Yes, we will, but I don't think he'll stop here. Now, keep calm, Vivian. Phil has a clear head. I'm sure he'll be okay. Yes, okay. All right, goodbye.
Did you say the police? What does Phil have to do with the police?
Mrs. Marshall thought Phil was here. Seems he told her he was spending the evening with you. Then the police called and asked if he was home. It seems James Murphy and his friends were having a drug party and using the younger boys as a cover-up. The police weren't fooled, though. They took the older boys to the station and the younger boys home. One of the boys told the police that Phil had been there, but when they looked around for him, he was gone.
Wow!
Mrs. Marshall said Phil's bike is gone. He probably rode it over there and slipped out during the confusion. I think he'll be home soon.
Now, Jeff, you see why we didn't want you to go to the party.
Hello? Oh, Vivian. Oh, well, good. Oh, he didn't? Oh, that should make you feel better about Phil. Oh, yes, I know he shouldn't have. Let's hope he's learned his lesson. Yeah, thank you for calling, Vivian. Good night now.
Well?
Phil's home safe and sound. He didn't know anything about the police raid. He said everything was getting out of control. It was so wild, he was afraid, so he slipped out the back door and came home. He must have left before the police came.
Wow, what a night. Alan may have spinal meningitis, and Phil was almost caught in a police raid. I think I'll go to bed. Good night.
Good night, son. Breakfast was just over the next morning, which was Saturday morning, you'll remember, when there was a knock at the door.
I'll go, Mother. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jeff. You busy this morning?
No, but I have to stay around pretty close until we hear from Alan's mother. Did you know about Alan?
Yes, my mother told me.
Dad's out in the garage. Let's go out there.
Okay.
Mother, I'll be out in the garage if you need me.
All right, Jeff.
Well, hi there, boys. Say, if you're looking for some work, you can help me clean up the garage here. Jeff, has Alan's mother called yet?
No, we're waiting around till we hear from her. You know, Phil, we may have to have shots if Alan has meningitis.
We will? Why?
Because we'd have been exposed, and it might be very contagious.
I sure was exposed to some wild stuff last night. Only Tim, Mike, Joe, and me from our class turned up, and there were five or six of James' friends, And were they ever high? They were playing the wildest music and acting so crazy. I tell you, I was scared.
I guess that's why Mother didn't want me to go. She didn't want me to be exposed to sin.
But you're exposed to sin every day. Sin is everywhere.
You're right about that, Phil. And spinal meningitis germs could be anywhere, too. But there is more danger some places than others.
Yeah. We're in more danger sitting by Alan on the bus than we would have been out in the orchard alone, for instance.
Yeah. And I was in greater danger of contacting sin in my life at that party than I would have been at home.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
It's too bad we can't isolate sin.
Yeah, or take a shot to prevent it.
Well, there is something we can do, though.
What?
We can keep our resistance up. You know, we keep our physical resistance up by eating a balanced diet and getting lots of rest and dressing correctly. How do you suppose we can keep up our spiritual resistance?
I suppose going to church would help.
And praying.
And reading our Bible? Isn't there a scripture which says, abstain from all appearance of evil?
Yep, that's 1 Thessalonians 5:22. And it means we should avoid any place where it appears we'll be in great danger of being exposed to sin. I hope you'll remember that for a long time.
Jeff! Phil! Good news, boys. Alan's mother just called. He doesn't have spinal meningitis. He does have a new type of virus, and the doctor wants to keep him in the hospital for a few days for observation. But he should be fine in a couple weeks.
Hot dog, no shots. That was a close call.
Two close calls for me in 2 days. Double exposure. I think I'll go to church tomorrow and expose myself to something good.
I want to live for Jesus every day. I want to live for Jesus, come what may. For Jesus every day. I have decided to live for Jesus. I have decided to live for Jesus. I have decided to live for Jesus. I'll live for Him who died for me. I want to live for Jesus every day. For Jesus, come what may. Take the world and all its pleasure. I've got a more enduring treasure. I want to live for Jesus every day.
Well, time's just about up for today's visit. I hope you learn a good lesson from that story. You decide to live for Jesus. Don't worry about what others do. Don't forget, the Bible tells us to stay away from the very appearance of evil. Hey, don't forget to answer the treasure hunt question. Read Samuel chapter 17, and somewhere after verse 38, you'll find the answer to this question. What did David do with the 5 smooth stones he took out of the brook? Hey, don't forget, write today for Keys for Kids if you haven't already done so. Write to Uncle Charlie or Children's Bible Hour, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's Uncle Charlie, Children's Bible Hour, Box 1, Grand Rapids, Michigan. The zip is 49501. And if you have a problem or a prayer request, you share that too. Children's Bible Hour is a listener-supported ministry. Bye now.